1 through 3, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp around me, my heart will not fear. I like that. My heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. And that is something we need to remember, brothers and sisters. How many times in the scriptures do we hear God say, fear not, fear not? And right now it is true, a lot of people have a lot of fear. They're getting obsessed by this, okay? But the God's word to us is not to fear. Second, God is in control. We are not afraid of hard times. We're not even afraid of death, really, because we have eternal life. God's given it to us. This may be nothing. That's our hope. But we do not know at this point. I think one of the things that makes this a little bit more scary is that they don't know a lot about this virus, and that's what makes it scary. But one thing they've kind of determined is that you can kind of carry this and not even know you carry it and expose other people. That's kind of unusual. In fact, they say 82, and by the way, any statistic I quote today may change next week as more evidence comes in. But they say 82% of people who get it have zero symptoms or very mild symptoms. You know, like a cough. That wasn't a real cough, by the way. Just in case. No one leave. Okay. So that's what makes this kind of really unknown. And there's some other things that make this unknown, too. A third thing. Maybe just say this. About God being in control. We are not afraid of hard times. Okay? We need to remember that. Okay, third thing. This may open up an unbelievable number of opportunities to share our faith, to share the peace that God's given us, to share our joy, to share the message of eternal life. One thing is for sure is when everything's going well in life, people don't think about God, especially if they don't know God. You know, they think, oh, I don't really need God. Oh, yeah, he's important. Maybe one day I'll kind of get to him. A lot of people say that. You get hard times, and all of a sudden people, they start thinking differently, don't they? People start asking questions. And then when they see people who have peace, who aren't afraid, that have joy, all of a sudden they think, can you tell me what's going on in your life? Because I don't have what you have. And it's a perfect opportunity to share. This is exactly what's happening today, is exactly the type of scenarios we can expect in the future, the last days. Remember in Matthew 24, when Jesus talks about the last days, he talks about this is going to happen, and this has happened, and this has happened, but he says these are merely the birth pains. Now, I've never been in labor, but Judy has 4 times. And one thing I know about birth pains, when they first start off, you're kind of excited. Oh, I feel something. Actually, we have several people expecting right now. Jessica, Lila, I may be missing someone here. But, you know, and then it comes again, and then it kind of disappears. Then it kind of comes again. And what happens? They start getting harder, right? And then pretty soon, they get much harder. Would that be accurate? Anyway, you know, I think everyone here knows, you know. And that's the way it's going to be in the last days. There's going to be things that are going to happen here on the earth that are designed by God to get our attention. It may be, wow, there's such a rise in gun violence. And then maybe that kind of dies down. The coronavirus. And maybe that's a little bit stronger. Then that dies out. And then there's something. I guess what I'm saying is that we can expect there to be waves of things happening to get the attention of people who are just kind of cruising on in life and aren't paying attention to God. And his reason for doing that isn't to make us miserable, it's to get our attention. And God's people especially, we need to be ready to share the gospel, because God's desire in the end is what? For a great harvest, right? Okay, so this may be the first of a number of things that come our way. It might be designed to get us thinking, preparing our hearts as Christians. One thing I do know, and you've probably heard this, this virus started in Wuhan, China, and it happens to be a place where there's a lot of Christians and that have been persecuted recently, especially the last few years. But you know what the Christians in Wuhan are doing today? They're going out in the streets. They may be wearing a mask, but they're preaching the gospel. And you know what? No one's telling them stop it. You know, even the government. You know, because, and you know what? People are responding to the gospel. That may be multiplied around the world. It may not be the coronavirus. It may be the next birth pain that comes along. We need to be going out, and we need to be ready, because there's going to be opportunities. And you know what? This thing may fizzle out in the next 2 weeks. We may not get any opportunities this time, but let's at least take this moment in time to say, God, let's prepare our hearts to really reach out to people. Okay, another thing we need to do. Have an attitude of humility, especially in this day where there's so much polarization. In other words, let's say if this fizzles out next week, don't be one of those people, I told you so, I knew this was going to fizzle out. Or if this gets really bad, don't go telling the people who say that, I told you this was going to be bad, you weren't listening. You know what, that's not Christ-like. Christ-likeness is we don't get involved in these polarization things. We're here on this earth to serve people and to glorify Jesus. Is that correct? Amen? Okay, so we need to have an attitude of humility. We need to have a genuine care for others. You know, Matthew 24, when he talks about the last days, it talks about how in the end, people's love will grow cold toward one another. We're seeing it already. And it could be with more and more things like this that happens, we may see a lot of people coming together at first, but if this thing gets really bad, or if the next birth pain gets really bad, you know what's going to happen? People will start saying, I don't trust anyone. I don't like anybody. I don't love anybody. But you know what? God's people are going to be different, aren't we? That's where we shine as a light in a world of darkness. Okay. You know, actually, if you study church history, and Brianna was telling me, she was kind of reminding me this morning of some examples, and I won't go into them for the sake of time. Maybe another day we can, but whenever there's been plagues and sicknesses throughout church history, God's people have been ministering to people. Sometimes they even died. But you know what? They were there spreading the love of Jesus. That's our calling, brothers and sisters. Now, you've probably seen a lot of precautions that you should take. I just want to kind of mention a few things. By the way, personally, I'm not afraid. You may know. If you don't, I'll tell you right now, there's a group of us from this church. We're going to Israel in the Middle East on Tuesday, Lord willing. And actually, we met. And by the way, let me say this about this trip to Israel. A couple reasons for doing this. One, going to Israel is just a great, you get in touch with what was happening, you know, the life of Jesus. So much of the Bible unfolded in Israel. It's a fascinating place. You know, it opens up God's Word. And we want to do this maybe once a year, take a group. May not be every year. Some years it might be 2 years, two trips. But eventually, over 10 years, we'd like to take everyone in the church in small groups, okay? So, and if you've got some maybe problems with your documentation right now, You know, we believe that God will kind of take care of that in His time too. But one of the reasons we want to, that's one reason. Another reason we want to go is to pray for Israel and to pray what's going on, because the scriptures say what's happening in Israel really dictates when Jesus comes back. And so we want to prepare the church to pray more specifically, more than just, oh yeah, Lord, and God bless Israel, bring the Jewish people to you. Yeah, we want to pray that, but we want to pray in more detail. One way that happens is when you're actually there walking the streets, meeting people, being with other brothers and sisters. And we also sense that God may have be opening up some other things for us over there. So anyway, this week we found out that our flight had been canceled to Israel. Because we go through Germany, and Israel canceled all flights coming in from Germany. And we thought, well, Lord, are you closing the door? And through a kind of a strange set of circumstances, we found out, we found someone was willing to change our flights and go a different route where we wouldn't have to go through Germany. So last night we met, the 15 of us that are going, Lord, what would you have? And we probably spent 2 hours talking about all the reasons we should not go. By the way, there's a lot. Family members don't like it. You start reading the news. Don't travel. Never travel internationally. Things like this. And then we said, but would God have something for us? Would He want us there? And if He does, are we going to be afraid? And at the end, we took some time to pray. And at the end, we decided, you know what? God's opened up this opportunity. We're not afraid. We believe that God may have something for us. And we're going forth. And so I say that to tell you, we're not afraid. Okay? Now, I should probably also say that Israel is also discussing right now, today, actually, the possibility of closing to other countries. The United States may be one of them. If that's the case, we won't be going Tuesday. You'll see us this week, later this week. But our attitude is, if God has something for us, we're not going to shrink back. We're not going to shrink back, because this is a time of opportunity. And now, having said that, that doesn't mean that we don't take certain precautions. Okay? And I have a little slide up here. You've probably heard a lot of these. Some of them are going to be just for Emmanuel Fellowship. So let me just kind of go through some of these quickly. Wash your hands often. Actually, they say with salt, with soap. Do it for 20 seconds. In other words, don't turn the faucet on. Like that. That's not supposed to be adequate. Use hand sanitizer. I actually put one in my pocket this morning. By the way, it's hard to get. But if you get it, buy a bunch of it. Give it to your brothers and sisters. No, they say it's good to do, you know. So some doctors are saying you may cut your chances 40 to 50% of getting something just by doing these few things. Limit touching your face, especially if you're in a public place, pushing a cart, opening doors, then you kind of go like this or something like that. They say that's one of the worst things to do. Actually, I went into Safeway this morning, and I knew about this message. I thought, I'm going to use the hand sanitizer of my cart. Of course, they were out. So I thought, but I have my hand sanitizer. And then I thought, I can't touch my face. And then all of a sudden, I started itching. But I made it back to the car. And you know, believe me, like I said, I'm not a freak. I'm going to Israel Tuesday. Primero Dios. Be careful opening doors. I had this on the slide. Jennifer texted me and said, be careful opening doors. What does that mean? Well, not in your house, but if you're in a public place, the more you push doors, especially if everybody and their brother's been going through there, wash afterwards, or what I've heard some people say, take a couple Kleenexes. And if, especially if you're in a place where it's just really, get the Kleenex and just kind of push it open that way. Or do the elbow, if it's a, you know, or the bump, you know, or something like that, you know. I'm kind of making this funny just to try to kind of show these are things that are important. And by the way, this is for all the kids too. Use disinfectant wipes when necessary. They're probably good. Here's another one they're saying. This is one reason why we're probably a little bit low this morning. Stay home if you're sick. Coughing, sneezing including, nose dripping, fever. And they say, you may say, well, I'm not with sick with the coronavirus. That's okay. Still probably stay home because we all, none of us need to be getting any type of sickness right now, spreading the normal stuff, because it weakens our body if we do get it, okay? Okay, here's one that they're saying. Habits of greeting one another should be altered until we pass through. Now, in our church, we're a hugging church, kissing church, shaking hands. Sometimes we shake hands, hug, shake again, especially if you're from Mexico. The recommendation, and I think Eric, Hannah, and I, Eric, Bobby, and I, yesterday we talked, we said, yeah, we should probably say this is something we should do is, as a church for a while, let's refrain from that. In Paris, I was talking to someone in Paris this week. They said, yeah, the government's kind of said, by the way, Paris is a real kissy culture. They kiss on both sides. And the men kiss with each other, you know, if you know one another, especially in a church. So, you know, I mean, actually the first time I went, it was a little bit different, you know, because they kind of kissed me both sides. Of, I thought, okay, well, this way it's supposed to be done, you know. But they're saying, don't do that. Actually, the coronavirus in Paris is so bad, they've the government has said no church meetings this Sunday at all. And that's happening in other places. So in some places, it's getting kind of serious. Israel, by the way, they're saying no handshakes. Just a second here. I'm kind of having a problem with this. So anyway, I think one thing we can do is, you've probably seen this on Facebook, but where's Daniel? This is, let me kind of show Daniel. Let me move this here with the camera. This is one alternative we see. Hey, Daniel! Now, it's important. Right foot first, then left foot, okay? Because if I'm trying left foot and he's trying right foot, we're going to fall, we're going to tumble, and we're going to roll around together, okay? Okay, this is, like I said, this isn't in fear, but, and by the way, you might say, well, that coronavirus is probably not really here that much here now. Do we really need to do that? My suggestion, we start practicing today, because even since we decided to do it, like I hugged five or six people today, and afterwards I thought, oh no, I'm going to be preaching against this. Yeah. But it's a habit, so we need to remind one another. So if I come up and kind of, you know, we give you a hug, you say, let's do the footsies, okay? Okay, so, and then you may want to consider staying well stocked on some items. I wouldn't do the panic stuff, you know, but don't go overboard, but medications. You know, if you happen to see some extra these things, you may want to kind of do that. Disinfecting supplies, you know. Some people, I have to admit, we bought some extra toilet paper this week, because after reading Australia, no toilet paper, there's a shortage. I thought, well, I don't know, you know. So I don't know, but that's up to you. And you know what? Let me say this too. If you might say your comfort level might be greater than someone else's, respect one another, okay? Because some people may be a little bit more cautious than you. That's okay. That's okay, right? There's some, like Judy, actually, you might not know this, but she takes a medication that affects her immune system. So I told her, I said, you need to be a little bit more cautious. You know, we need to respect that. You know, I'm probably a little less cautious, but so you remind me if I'm, you know, if I need to be reminded, okay? Now, if, and that's a big if, things were to get worse, and I'm not saying they are going to happen, you know, what we want to do, we want to be prepared to what? Reach out to people, prepare meals for those who are sick, and if it really gets bad, we may have to prepare a meal, set it on someone's doorstep, say, it's out front, ding, 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 and then run. You know, you understand I'm kind of making this kind of light and funny, but, you know, I think you get the idea, right? Okay. One thing that could happen if things got worse, our meetings might get canceled. Not because of our desire, but this is a community center for seniors. And I could see them being concerned. If that happens, we're going to continue in fellowship. We're going to continue serving others. We're not going to shrink back. We stream the meetings already. Make sure you know how to do it, because there may be a few Sundays that we have to stream the meetings. We may have some outdoor meetings if it gets a little bit warmer. And we may stream several times a week with just words of encouragement to everyone. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that we're thinking about this. We don't want to alarm anyone, but we feel like we're being responsible by at least, we need to talk about this openly, okay? And most important, our responsibility not to shrink back from our calling. This may pass over as another one of those light birth pains. That would be great. I would vote for that. That way I know I'm going to be able to go to Israel on Tuesday, you know. But if not, we're prepared. And if it's not this time, it's going to be sometime. Okay? Amen. Why don't we do this? Why don't we dismiss the kids to their classes, and we're going to take another 15, 20 minutes. And teachers, you might can reinforce what you've heard to some of the kids in their classes, especially about greeting and washing hands and stuff. Yeah. Now, is this my water that someone put up here? Who put this up for me? Okay, good. Okay, it's for me, right? Okay. Hasn't been here since some other group. Something missing?
I can't plug this in while it is.
While we do. You have to quit one and start another one?
No, they just, I can't plug this into the power.
Oh. Okay, we'll start back in about 3 or 4 minutes. While we're waiting, is there any questions about what I shared? Graciela. Oh, see. Okay. Yeah, she said she's also heard it's good to kind of take vitamin C. That's right. And I've heard other. Yeah, you know, whatever you feel comfortable doing, I think that's the important thing to do. And again, we're not trying to, I'm not an alarmist. That's just not my personality, you know. About ready? Okay, great. Okay, we want to welcome those who are joining us online, March 8th, 2020. And today we finished the book of Hebrews. So if we can take a look at Hebrews and actually just the last few verses, not going to take a long time here. But, you know, I would like to say that I would recommend that sometime you take some time and go back and read through the book of Hebrews. Even study it. Personally, I find that sometimes the second and third time I go through a book is when I start receiving the best insights, the most understanding, you know, the I feel like that's when I'm transformed the most. So study it, okay? Okay, this last passage has multiple topics. It's not just one subject. So I'm just going to go through boom, 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 boom. Listen carefully, because I have a feeling that probably at least one of these is going to apply to you, okay? Maybe all of them, it should, but so just listen to the Lord. So we're Hebrews 13, verse 15. Let's read 15 and 16. Through him then, let us continually, I have that underlined in my Bible, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Now, under the new covenant, there's still some sacrifices that need to be made. Just not the ones that were under the old covenant. Under the old covenant, there was a sacrifices were made and they're of animals for the sins of us, right? God's already made provision for that. So now what are the provisions or the sacrifices we're to make? One is that we're to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. The fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Psalm 34, verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And it's just like the priest of old who had to make sacrifices continually. We're to make sacrifices of praising God. You know, other places it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice always. And that should mark us as Christians, is that we are people who are constantly giving thanks. The world already has enough people who complain and grumble, right? That's not supposed to be us. We are people who give thanks to the Lord. That's the fruit of our lips. We're constantly thanking the Lord. Not only that, but it says, do not neglect in doing good. That's our calling. Actually, Ephesians 2 says, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. God created us. Created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. He created us for that, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And that's an amazing thought, that before we were even born, since the foundation of the world, God had us in mind. And he just didn't know that, okay, there's going to be someone named Justin Micah, you know, in the late 1900s and the 2000s. No, it was more than that. It says that he's ordained for us to walk in certain good works. Now, that doesn't mean we are, but we're to do that. And so we need to be sensitive to that. So the sacrifice we make, offering praise to God, doing good. By the way, sometimes that is a sacrifice, doing good, isn't it? Because it's inconvenient. And then also sharing with others. And the example of the early church is perfect. They were continually sharing. And I think that's important to realize. We're to continually be doing these things. You know, I think I've shared before that sometimes the world, actually there's a bumper sticker, do random acts of kindness. I never liked that bumper sticker, although I appreciate that person's trying to spread the message of kindness. But for Christians, it's not just random acts of kindness. That's to be our life, isn't it? That's one of the things that separates us from the rest of the world. Okay, let's go to verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Well, there's a lot here, but let me just say this about leaders. They have a serious responsibility before God, one that very frankly sometimes helps instill the fear of God in me. It says, and I think those of you who want to be leaders, those of you who want more responsibility in the church, listen to this, because it says that leaders watch over the souls of those allotted to them. In other words, God sees that in a particular congregation, there's a flock. And the leaders and even house church leaders, there's a responsibility before God that they have to answer before Him. And they're to watch over their souls. By the way, there's a trend today where people have 2, 3, sometimes 5 or 6 churches that they kind of belong to. Well, I go here on this day, and I go here when I want to have when I want good worship, and when I want to hear good preaching, I go over here. And you know, the problem with that is those pastors, those shepherds, by the way, in Spanish and in English and in Greek, the word pastor and the word shepherd is the same word, right? Isn't it, right? Okay. And so a shepherd needs to know who's in his flock. You know, if there's sheep that kind of go from here and here, well, where's so-and-so sheep? Oh, they're in that flock today. Oh, and then that shepherd say, hey, where's so-and-so? Oh, they're over here now. What happens? No shepherds really are keeping watch over their soul. So I think that's one of the dangers of that trend today. Also, this exhortation, it says, let them watch over the souls. And I think one way you do that is like in prayer. Let them do it with joy, not with grief. Literally, that means with groaning. In other words, I've met pastors, not Eric, not Bobby, not myself, you know, but I've met pastors that they say, oh, when brother so-and-so comes, oh, I can't stand it. I just dread it, you know. And they're kind of groaning with it. I think, wait a minute. You know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be with joy, right? Okay, and that means we don't do it lightly or grudgingly. So if you want to be more in responsibility, remember that the heart of having responsibility in the church is caring for people, being a shepherd. Of course, Jesus is our primary shepherd, and taking care of people, watching over them, praying for them. That's what you do. Okay, 1 Peter 5, this is just says this in another way. And let me get to it here. For some reason, it's right here, I know. Okay, starting verse, why don't we just start in verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. By the way, elders and pastors, those words are used interchangeably in the scriptures. And shepherds, you know, it says, shepherd the flock of God among you. Actually, the implication here in the Greek, I understand, is it's when it's talking about pastors or elders, it's talking about the under shepherds. And why is that? Because there's a chief shepherd. Okay, but it says, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, but not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus, appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. So, what are we saying here? And this is a message in itself, like all of them. Leaders should be servants. They should be serving. They never lord it over. They don't say, I'm the leader, you do what I say. I've seen pastors, I've seen churches that work that way. You know what? That's not from God. That's not from God. Okay? Shepherds shepherd. They take care of. Okay. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. Or 13. We're going to finish this up today. Let's look at verse 18 and 19. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner. Okay, this is about having a good conscience. We've talked about this before. Acts 23, verse 1. Actually, we may not have a slide of the whole verse here, or do we? No, we don't. Okay, no, I don't think I put it up there. But let me just read it for you. It says, Paul kind of says, "Brethren, I've lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day." A perfectly good one. And then in 24:16, he says, "In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience, both before God and before men." So, what does that mean, to have a perfectly good conscience? That means your conscience is what God uses to tell you, "Hey, Mike, you didn't do something right. You didn't really speak to that brother or sister right. Or you didn't do this right. Or you're having a bad attitude." A good conscience means that when I hear the voice of the Lord talking to me, I go before the Lord and I ask His forgiveness. In some cases, I have to kind of ask someone else. I think I shared this, I don't know, probably 5-6 years ago, but a lot of people are new, so I'll share it again. I remember when I was in my 20s, I went to a conference, and they were talking about a conscience, having a perfectly good conscience. And I said, "Yeah, that's good. And then at the end, the guy had us pray and just say, "Just ask the Lord if there's anything that you need to take care of. Maybe even ask forgiveness of." So I prayed, and this thing came to my mind that I hadn't thought about in 5 or 6 years, since I'd been in high school. I was in my early 20s when I did this. And I'll tell you what it was. When I was in my senior year in high school, in my English class, we had to read a book a month, the honor system. And so we had to read the book, and at the end of the month, we'd go up to the teacher's desk and we'd tell them which book we read. So, you know, every month, everyone would go up there. It was kind of a joke because he never asked you any questions about it. You didn't have to write anything about it. You just had to give the name and the author. And I did it all, you know, every month. And I realized nobody in my class read those books. Why should they? There's no accountability. So about month 6 out of 9 months, I remember I was reading the book. I didn't quite finish. So I went up, told him the name. I justified it in my mind because I thought I read more than anyone else. Next month, let me kind of start this. Well, the bottom line is the last couple months, I never finished my books. I'm the only one that even opened a book. I'm the only one in my class that actually even checked one out of the library. But still, and somehow this thing kind of came to my mind. I was like 25 or so. This happened when I was like 18. And the Lord kept saying, "You need to go back and ask your English teacher forgiveness for deceiving him." Lord, I don't even know. This guy's kind of a little old. I don't even know if he's still alive. I haven't seen him since I was in school. And I don't even know how to get in touch with him. You could go back to the school, felt the Lord say. So anyway, I'm kind of wrestling. So actually, this happened the very next day. I was in the bank, kind of filling out something. Turn around, and there's Mr. Rayner. First time I've seen him since high school. My heart's beating. Like a moment of truth. Am I going to obey or not? If I don't do it now, I may never see him. So I go up. I say, "Mr. Rayner," and I told him exactly what. He was stunned. I mean, shocked. And he said, "Well, Mike, I'm not even sure if he even really, I think he remembered who I introduced myself, but I'm not sure if he knew me or not." But he, "Thank you very much. That really means a lot to me." And I wanted to say, but I read most of them. And I read most of the books of the ones I didn't. But I just said, "Hey, listen, I deceived you the last few months, you know." Well, My brother-in-law, my sister's husband, happened to be working at the same high school that he was. So about 3 or 4 days later, Paul, my brother-in-law, calls, "Hey, I had an interesting talk with Mr. Rayner." I thought, oh, great. He had told my brother-in-law and all this. And he said, yeah, he's going to start every year with his classes with this story of me coming back. I thought, oh, great. But then I thought, no, that's good, because that's the way it's supposed to. That's having a perfectly good conscience, okay? That when something bothers you, it may seem hard, but you go back. You get it right. You say, well, it's kind of embarrassing. It's humiliating. That's okay. It's God that we please, not the others, right? So anyway, I could probably share other stories just in my life, but that's the one that really kind of, because I hadn't seen him for 7 years, very next day I see him in the bank, you know, and anyway. So I don't know, I don't think he's still living right now, but if he is, he's probably still telling that story every year, you know. But anyway, so that's a good conscience. Now, I'm not even going to go through these verses, but you can kind of, you can take a photo of this. There are a lot of verses. This is just a few. It talks about the good conscience, the clear conscience. It talks about a seared conscience. It talks about a guilty or dirty conscience. It talks about an evil conscience. And the thing about a seared conscience, if you disobey once or ignore your conscience, I'll tell you one thing, it's easier to ignore it the second time. And it's even easier to ignore it the next time. So Mike, are you saying just kind of bear through it the first 2 or 3 times? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying get it right. Have a perfectly good conscience before God, because it brings freedom in here. It brings joy in your life. Okay? Okay, anyway. It's kind of hard to kind of just limit myself to a few verses. I mean, just a few comments on each. Okay, let's go to verse 20. Okay, this is a benediction. You know what a benediction is? It's a blessing. And I know we use that so freely. Someone sneezes. Well, now we kind of run away, but we used to say, God bless you. You know, but you know what? When we pronounce a blessing on someone and we do it in faith, did you know that carries spiritual authority? It does. So, this is the writer of Hebrews, whoever it is pronouncing a blessing on us, even 2,000 years later, who are studying this book. So, do you want to receive this blessing? I do. Okay, then let's read it. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep. Who's the great shepherd of the sheep? Jesus, our Savior, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus, our Lord. We've been talking about that, haven't we? All throughout Hebrews. With His blood, He initiated a new covenant for us. He cleansed us from all sin. That's the one we're talking about. May He, this good shepherd, great shepherd, equip you in every good thing to do His will. Isn't that amazing? The blessing is may the good shepherd equip us to do everything. All those good works we talked about, that He will anoint them. He will equip us to do them for His glory. Working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That is what the good shepherd is doing. And only, let me say this too, only this good shepherd who loves His sheep so much that He died for us as a sacrifice, only that shepherd can equip us and work in us like it is. You know, self-help books can't do it. Classes can't do it. Nothing can do it except for Him. He's the only one. Okay, then verse 22, we are getting close. But I urge you, brethren, bear with this brief word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. This word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. I'm not sure about that briefly. It's taken us over a year. We just skimmed it. But I think it shows how much is in God's word, right? Take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes, I will see you. Timothy must have been in prison. Only place, we don't know any of the details. And then it says, greet all of your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. By the way, who are the saints according to the scriptures? They are the true believers in Christ. That's us. All of us. Santo Hector. Santa Elizabeth. Saint. I do that in French for you. Valerie. Saint Valeria. Okay. So we're the saints. Okay. And so he says, greet them all. And this must have been written from Italy. It's interesting he didn't say Rome like Paul does. So it must have been outside of Rome. Maybe it wasn't Paul. We don't know anything about that. And then verse 25, grace be with you all. This is still part of that benediction, that blessing. What a wonderful way to end this book. May his grace be upon us. And by the way, what is his grace? God's supernatural, that's important, favor, strength, blessing given us to do his will. Grace. Grace to be able to understand all the truths of this wonderful book of Hebrews. And grace to be able to appropriate, or that is, to put these principles into practice. That's I feel like, a very important part of this benediction. And may that be our prayer, that we can just, God's grace be upon us. So I hope, even though we've just kind of gone through a bunch of these exhortations that don't really relate to one another in some ways, just kind of closing exhortations that the writer of Hebrews gives us, I hope you've been able to kind of pick up, yeah, that was for me, especially that continually praising God. Too often I'm grumbling, you know, or wow, the whole thing about, about neglecting to do good and sharing, that really hasn't been me. I really want that to happen, you know. Or maybe you're a leader, have responsibility in the church, and you're not doing it with joy. You know, you need to do it with joy. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for these parting exhortations. Lord, really words of encouragement. Lord, we also thank you for this great book of Hebrews. Lord, may our lives be eternally changed as a result of going through this book. Thank you, Lord. Amen.